If you're an NBA fan, you probably know that Phil Jackson has won more championship rings than any other NBA coach. He's got 11 of them, which accounts for the title of his autobiography, 11 Rings. The book's second chapter contains the surprising line, "My job as a coach was to make something meaningful out of one of the most mundane activities on the planet, playing pro basketball." Phil Jackson joined me in June of 2013, and I asked him when he started thinking of pro basketball in those terms.
Oh, probably when I was about my sixth or seventh year as an NBA pro. I played 14 years. I think halfway through it, you know, it became somewhat of a routine, you know, the downtime, the travel, the practices. And then as a coach, I just saw how players can lose interest, can get distracted. Most of their days are open except for an hour and a half or two of practice. The NBA has changed that a lot, Bill. They've, you know, practices are more fulfilling because of video work, there's weight work. That's improved considerably. We didn't even have shoot-arounds for my first 7 years in the NBA. You know, so there's even game days. You know, you woke up in the morning, you wait for those times that you got to be on the court.
When you were playing for the Knicks and later the Nets in the late 60s up until 1980, were you already thinking about coaching?
You know, it was one of the last things on my mind that I was going to do. I had no intention of doing it. I got to the Nets. I went there with Kevin Lockery, a former player with the Baltimore Bullets, encouraging me to come, saying that we had a really bad season, 17-18 wins last year. We want to do better. I need someone in that has experience and can give me some help, even as a coach, even as maybe a player coach. And so I went. And our rookie center, came down with his ACL tear, and I was activated and played like 78 games or something that year. A week into that tenure, Red Holtzman called me up from the New York Knicks and said, "I've just been named the coach. They fired Willis Reed. I'd like to have an assistant. Are you interested?" And I said, "I just started playing, Red, so I can't take it." But that was my first introduction into the fact that, hey, other people see me as being, you know, more than just a player.
Important elements of a successful basketball team include hustle, rebounding, size up front, of course. But you contend in the book that, and I'm quoting again, if a team doesn't have the most essential ingredient, love, none of those other factors matter. Is that how you put it to Michael Jordan and his teammates when you started coaching the Bulls in 89?
I wouldn't use the term love. There's another term, agape, that you hear used a lot of times in charismatic religious groups, that it's this more pure love of caring, of sharing, of concern, of understanding. And I think that, you know, players and teams have to come to that at some point in the course of a season to be successful. You know, maybe not, you know, quote-unquote personal friends, but they become teammates at the highest level of that term.
You included various Indian proverbs in the book and even a line from English poet Matthew Arnold, but you really got my attention with a line from Tom Waits, "The way you do anything is the way you do everything." Those words begin a chapter titled "A Question of Character." Tell me about the choice of that quotation.
You know, the real value in everything you do is in the details, and I just like that quote as a very similar way to say the same thing. If you're washing dishes, you pay attention to washing dishes. If you're driving the car, you know, you're paying attention to, you know, driving a car. You're not eating a Big Mac and or whatever. And, you know, those are the things that really show up at this time of the year when you're getting into, like, playoffs and you're playing the fifth or sixth or seventh game against a team.
You have quoted Zen proverbs to your players, Phil. You've directed them to play basketball in the dark. You've required them to write book reports on books that you've chosen for them to read. Give me a good example of a great choice that you made for a particular player.
Well, there's been so many that have really, you know, players have liked. Steppenwolf was something I gave to Shaq, and he gave me back a book report that was funny. Funny thing.
I can't even begin to imagine Shaquille O'Neal's book report on Steph.
Yeah, I think I enumerated in the book, but it's You know, there have been a number of those books that have made a difference to players, and I value the fact that they understand more about me by the books I give them.
One of the tools that you talk about using several times in the book is meditation. And I got to wonder, when you were coaching the Lakers, did you ever meditate on why Shaquille O'Neal couldn't learn to toss the ball into the basket more often from the foul line?
Well, there's a thought process behind that, and it has to do a lot with standing in front of a massive group of people, whether it's 18,000 or you're thinking about the people on television that are also watching, and it distorts the most simplest thing that you do, and that's shooting a free throw. Shaquille had an issue. He had an injury issue in a wrist. So then we had to teach him how to bend his knees so that, you know, he could get the elevation and not make it flat. And then he had tendonitis in his knees, so I would suggest, let's try underhanded. Oh, no, I can't do that. I can't do a granny shot, you know. So I said, well, if you're successful at it, you know, people will not think of it as, you know, a granny shot. They'll think, well, this is the way he solved that problem. But I know he was, you had him in Boston, and he was loved there because of his great personality. But there's a lot about Shaquille is insecure and shy. And, you know, I think his insecurity showed up at the line.
There are those who would minimize your achievements as a coach by saying, sure, he won all those championships, but he had Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen on the Bulls. He had Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant on the Lakers. What coach wouldn't have won with lineups like that? Is there any validity to that contention?
Well, there is. There's a lot to be said about that. In fact, I had maybe my most talented team we couldn't win with was had Karl Malone and Gary Payton to go along with Kobe Bryant and Shaquille. And, you know, we couldn't win. We got to the finals, which is success, but not the ultimate success. The best thing that I think happened to me was that I got this opportunity to have, you know, really good players, and we were able to meet the demand of the competition. And I think that's what I value most.
In 11 Rings, you write that you went through a tough time in 1980 after you left the Nets because you missed being a player. I don't know if you felt the same way about coaching after the 2011 season ended, but there has been speculation that you might like to coach again. Would you be receptive if the right offer came along?
You know, I have no intention of coaching. I don't think I could be thrilled enough to break that intention. I know the physical demands. I know what it takes to be a coach. I've gone through that. I think I came up short my last season. Lots of things were happening physically to me and emotionally, perhaps mentally too. So I felt it was the right time to attend to other things important, that, like health and like family and stuff like that. And I still enjoy that. I don't think I have any need to go back and coach.
Phil Jackson is the winner of 2 championship rings as an NBA player. He got 11 more as a coach, and he's written 11 Rings with Hugh Delahanty. The book is published by Penguin. Phil, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks a lot.